Continue with our teaching, our walk of faith, Mark chapter 11. You've had how many lessons now? Mark chapter 11. Because we said at the beginning that there are some very vital truths in the scriptures that we must emphasize as believers. You can never hear enough of it. You don't become a master in it or an expert in it. You only grow from one level of understanding to the other. So there are some things that a local assembly must teach over and over again. There's a tendency to think that you have arrived, but it's a journey. Amen. It's a journey. We're learning, and we're growing, and we're increasing in knowledge. Now, Mark chapter 11, I read from verse 22. Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. That's the King James Version. So in this series we've established that it actually means that have the faith of God. So there is a requirement. Before you get to verse 23, the requirement for what Jesus did to the fig tree is in verse 23. Or rather, is in verse 22. Jesus spoke to the fig tree the very next day. Interestingly, the disciples were the ones who observed what Jesus did. Jesus didn't go back to the tree to check or to inspect what happened. It was disciples calling to remember, specifically Peter, Master, the fig tree which you cursed is dried up from the roots, which means from the source. What did Jesus say to the fig tree? He said, no man eat fruit from thee this day on after. So when they were coming back the next day, 24-hour period, and then Jesus gave them a principle. And we said, a number of the teachings of Jesus were post-resurrection realities. If you don't learn to read the four Gospels that way, you will misunderstand the teachings of Jesus. It will speak in the present tense something that is yet to happen, because Jesus was the prophet that fulfilled all the utterance of the other prophets. So for instance, in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus stood before them and said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And they were standing in front of him. So obviously, it couldn't be referring to come to me physically. No, they were already in front of him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, is a prophecy about what his resurrection will offer them. Men can only come after Jesus is risen from the dead. Say amen. So there were things Jesus said in the present tense that there was a pointer to a future reality. This is one of those realities. They saw Jesus do something, and then they asked Jesus, okay, they were wondering what happened, okay? Because this man speaks to things, he speaks to trees, he speaks to storms, storms are stilled, okay? He speaks about events, but speaking to trees, and the very next day they saw Jesus. He says, have the faith of God. That faith wasn't possible until Jesus rose from the dead. But look at the principle Jesus said. He says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. So we define whosoever. Whosoever has the faith of God is the one he's talking about. Not just whosoever. Whosoever has this faith of God. That's the requirement. He says, look at what he says. You shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass. He shall have what? Whatsoever he said. Do you believe you have whatsoever you say? Now, you know, as interesting as that statement is, we give a chorus answer. You will know those who are sure of having what they say by their economy of speech. Economy of speech means that once understanding comes, you will use your words economically. You'll be careful of what you say. You'll be too much full of speaking. You'll be careful about the words you speak, because you know that your words are a vehicle for releasing power. So we saw in Romans chapter 10, how do we get this faith of God? Romans chapter 10. These definitions are important because, again, the general or cursory reading will not allow you to arrive at proper understanding of the truth that Jesus tried to communicate. Romans chapter 10, I read from verse 17. It says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In the original rendering, is hearing by the word of Christ. So it says, so then, faith, the word cometh, is italicized. So then, this faith we're referring to is by hearing, and the hearing we're talking about is specifically the words of Christ. So what is that word of Christ? Go to verse 8. Let me read from verse 6 for contextual reference. It says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Why is this using that phrase? He has already said in verse 5. Verse 4 says, Christ is the end of the law with respect to righteousness to everyone that believes. So everyone that believes, their righteousness is fulfilled in Christ. They don't have any other moral obligation in that sense when it comes to getting righteous. He now says in verse 5, he says, for Moses describes the righteous wickedness of the law, the man which does those things shall live by them. Notice the man will do, he will do, he will do, he will keep doing. The energy comes from him, the doing comes from him, the accomplishment comes from the man. That's what the law instigates. Now, the law was written so that men could, so to speak, lean on faith in God, but many did not understand what the law was about. So they tried to fulfill what God was going to fulfill himself by sending his son. Say amen. That was the purpose of the law. It was for men to realize that, looking at it naturally, no man can fulfill all the obligations that are required. So God sent his own son. I've told you many times, if you're reading Deuteronomy 28 from verse 1, don't start from verse 3. Start from verse 1. Verse 3 begins to get sweet. From verse 3, verse 4, everybody likes 3 now. Say, these blessings, before you read the blessing, they are conditional. They are conditional. But the ones that are in Christ are not conditional, because Christ fulfilled the obligations for you. Hallelujah. So if you're reading Deuteronomy 20, you see, it shall come to pass. That's where you start from. If thou shalt hearken diligently, loudly and loudly, unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all. You underline all. So you have to go and read all. Can you see? All his commandments, which I commanded, is that the Lord thy God shall set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. This CV is for a particular person. It wasn't meant for them. It was for somebody to fulfill on their behalf. The person's CV that Moses is writing about is Christ. They didn't get it. This was a CV. It shall come to pass. Has it not come to pass? Has it not fulfilled the obligation for us? So when you go back there, you know, when you just jump verse 3, understand what he's talking about. These blessings is after this has been fulfilled. Galatians 3:13. Christ. Christ. Glory to God. Galatians 3:13. Look at Galatians 3:13. I'm fond of quoting, but it's good. Christ has what? Is that present or past tense? So, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made what? A curse for us, for it is written. Curse is everyone that hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, through who? Jesus Christ. That we might what? Receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, or the promised Spirit. The promised Spirit. The promised Spirit. The promise of the Spirit is a promised Spirit. There was a promised Spirit to Abraham. That is the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham is the Spirit that was promised. That we might receive that Spirit that was promised, which today you can also call sonship and redemption. Say amen. So it says through faith. That faith is what we are looking at in Romans chapter 10, that we saw in Ephesians chapter 2, that even that faith by which you receive is not from you and not of you, it is the gift of God. So go back to Romans chapter 10. I'm going to read from verse 8. It says, but what does he say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. So you can put the word of faithfulness, God's faithfulness which we declare. The word of God's faith, the message of God's faithfulness. That's what we're preaching. We're preaching the message of God's faithfulness, which gives you faith. So the message of God's faithfulness informs you about what God has done, and by that information, faith is born in your heart. Can you see that? So when it says, so then, faith is by hearing, and I mean hearing the word of Christ. What has he done? What has he accomplished? Notice Moses, or Paul quoting Moses, does a play on words. Who shall ascend? Who shall descend? This is who will get the work done. That's not what faith says. What faith says now is this: the word is already here, it's present, it has been accomplished. God's faithfulness has been communicated in a message. Hallelujah. So God has already done it. You are hearing of it. The hearing produces faith in your heart. Hallelujah. So it's a message of God's faithfulness. God has been faithful in that he raised Christ from the dead. The minute you try to walk it, there's a problem. Because you are already saying unconsciously, who shall ascend? Who shall descend? That's what you're doing if you're trying to walk it. It has been walked. It has been accomplished. It is done, settled, sealed, forever accomplished. You are a recipient only. Hallelujah. You're a recipient only. That's what you are. So the hearing is the hearing that produces faith, that gives you faith. You hear that God has been faithful. So let's read on. See what it says. It says, the word is nigh even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If you will confess with your mouth, that is, if you will admit with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God has risen from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved now. Has God risen from the dead? So notice the process that you will admit after you've heard. What did you hear? That God has risen from the dead. You will admit, and because you have believed that testimony in your heart. So the believing in the heart comes before the admission from the lips. That's what they're saying. It's because I believe in my heart that I confess with what? My mouth. How did I believe? There was a hearing. The hearing did not take place on the outside, even though it started from the outside. The hearing took place on the inside. So I have internal ears through which faith is transmitted to my heart. So I hear the message. I keep hearing, it is done, it is settled. God has risen from the dead. Through this man is preached unto me the forgiveness of what? Sins. And I'm justified from all things that I could not be justified but by the law of Moses. That's what I heard. That's the message that I heard. So what is being communicated? God has been faithful. That's what I heard. And no requirement on my part except to believe. Look at Ephesians 2. We'll come back in. Ephesians 2. Let's read from verse 4. But God, who is rich in what? Mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, as what? Quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. So notice, the quickening has taken place. Acceptance is all that is necessary. Acceptance. So when you believe and you confess, the quickening becomes a reality in your life, even though it's a reality on God's side. Can you see that? Can you see that? So God doesn't suddenly get strong. You receive the strength of God demonstrated in the resurrection of Jesus. But the message must first be, you see what it says? It says, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together. So it's describing God's love and the intensity of God's faithfulness. How faithful is God? Even when it was done, before you could be aware you needed salvation or a savior, that's how faithful God has been. So it's telling you, you were insensate. You were completely dead to God's realm when this provision was made. That's what he's saying. So when Jesus went down in the eye of God, everyone who believes went down with him. When he suffered, everyone who believes suffered with him. So when he was made alive, everyone who believed was made alive with him. When he was raised, everyone who believes was what? Raised together with him. Say amen. Can you see that? So he says, even when we were pastors, dead. So when you couldn't make a choice, when you didn't have enough understanding to know that you were in a spiritually dead state, he had already said in the previous verse, he says, there's a spirit of disobedience that works in every single child that is a child of God who has not obeyed the gospel. So he says, now, even when we're dead, so he's telling you the extent. He says, by grace you were saved. He says, he has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might display how rich his grace is in his kindness, as demonstrated in what he accomplished in Christ. Look at the next verse. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And both the grace and the faith is not of yourselves. Both is the gift of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So notice, the capacity to believe was transmitted with the message. This is what God has done. That's why the minute you preach the gospel and you put conditions, you are not preaching the gospel. No. It is come, all things are now ready. Hallelujah. Come, all things are now what? Ready. It's an invitation. You bring nothing to the table. Come as you are. Because what we transform is on the table. That's the provision of God. So it comes with faith. So you are not trying to get faith. Say, I have faith. Say, I have the faith of God. I have the faith of Christ. So Galatians 2:20, again, let's remind ourselves before we quickly move forward. Because then the practice of your faith is important. But if you don't know you have faith, you go about trying to get faith. I shared with us last week that when the Bible speaks about exceeding growing faith, it's not talking about a quantum leap in your faith. It's talking about increased knowledge that allows you to express faith effectively. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, see what it says. I'm going to come back here shortly. See, second, he said, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith grows what? Exceedingly. Look at the word hand. That's Greek word kai. It's explaining the previous thought. So what is it? What does it mean by your faith grows exceedingly? It says, I mean the love of every one of you towards each other abounds. Can you see that? So faith that grows is that your love, this is the practical outward demonstration of love. We can see it in you. And it's a proof that your faith is growing. Because that love is a function of the love of Christ that is in you. Do you understand now? So when it says your faith grows exceedingly, it's refined to your love work. It's refined to the fact that your faith is finding expression in love. Because love is an expression of what? Faith. Say amen. So Galatians 2:20 now. So it's safe to say, a believer who doesn't have a sound love work is weak in faith. It's safe to say. If you find it difficult to forgive, it's not because, allow me to use that word again, your forgiver is not working. Say, I have a forgiver on the inside. See, my heart functions by forgiving. I let go. There is nothing I wasn't forgiving of. The same nature that forgives, I bounce in me now. I can forgive all things. And that doesn't mean you should go around stepping on people's toes. I'm just saying that there is nothing wrong with your forgiver. It's in perfect working order. What we have are believers who refuse to forgive. There's a difference. You know you can, but you just don't want to. In other words, you are related so much with fleshly things. In fact, if you read the wrong blogs and stay with the wrong social media handles, they will teach you the wisdom of this world. The Bible says it's devilish and sensual. It's from beneath. They teach you things like that. Marriages have been destroyed based on people reading those terrible blogs. Because people forgot who they were in Christ. James 1:22 was fulfilled. They looked into the mirror. They didn't continue looking. They went to go and look at another mirror. That mirror now showed them. Show him that you are choleric. Show him you will never agree. That's the person that's writing and advising you is not married. He is not married. May have escaped 3-4 booking relationships. He's now advising you and you are taking advice. And your Lord is advising you. Be tender hearted. Forgive. And you are listening. And that's where you see all kinds of comments, all kinds of, yes, tell them. So you should not follow. When he comes next time, don't grieve for him. Don't agree that destroying everything God has built for you. Because you have refused to walk in your nature. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Hallelujah. Love never fails. The word fail there means it never quits. It stays steady and finishes the race. Say amen. Your faith grows exceedingly because your love abounds. And your love only abounds based on revelation knowledge of the scriptures. There is nothing you cannot forgive. It doesn't mean it won't hurt your opinion, but there is nothing you cannot forgive. That's the truth. Your forgiver works. Holding on to a grudge, you are hindering your faith from working. Hallelujah. Alright, so Galatians. So Paul says, for I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but what? Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of. Notice, not faith in. It's a faith of. Faith of simply means the same faith that was in his heart is the same faith that is in my heart now. So it is a faith of because it is Christ that liveth in me. Listen, the Christian life is impossible for men to live. It has to be Christ that lives it through you. So all you do is yield. You can't live the Christian life. It's God's life. So you have to let God live his own life through you. You can't live the life by yourself. You can't. So when Paul says, I live by the faith of, it is the faith of, I'm making transactions with the faith of the Son of God. So the faith in my heart is the faith of the Son of God. Say, I have the faith of Christ. Say, I have the faith of God. So Mark 11:22 has been fulfilled. So again, when he says whosoever, whosoever doesn't just mean anybody. Whosoever is qualified by, whosoever has this faith, he will say. So the having comes before what? The saying. Then we saw 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, which we said is a quotation from the Holy Scriptures, a prophecy that's been fulfilled. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, we having the same spirit. The word same means that spirit that was spoken of in the Holy Scriptures, that same spirit that was referred to. We have the fulfillment of the Abrahamic promise. The promised spirit. We have that same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also what? Believe, and we therefore speak. So which one comes of the speaking or the believing? So you don't speak to believe. Listen carefully. When you are speaking, suppose I've given people assignments. Go and confess this 200 times. I'm not trying to get you to believe. I'm trying to get your mind renewed. There's a difference. I'm not giving you more faith. Faith is present. Faith is held captive by your ignorance. That's how doubt comes. There are things you've heard that is, so to speak, exalting itself against the knowledge of Christ. So we need to increase the knowledge of Christ on your inside so that your faith can find what expression. How do we know? By the things you're saying. And listen carefully. You can fool us some of the time, but you can't fool us all of the time. Because when challenges come, the Bible says, if you faint in the day of adversity, it is because your strength. It is not because the adversity is big. Mm-mm. It is that your strength is what? Small. And the strength is defined to his knowledge. You have the faith of Christ. You don't need more faith. You don't need more faith. If it's the faith of Christ, it's like saying Jesus needs more faith to operate. Imagine Jesus getting Lazarus gives. Oh, I wish I have more faith today. They say it's been dead word for this. They should have it's one day dead I can raise. It's the same faith. How I wish, or how I just wish. No. The faith was present. Jesus had prayed. Jesus spoke. So we will not find you. There will be no freedom to speak because you are not persuaded. The persuasion is a function of what? Knowledge. You know, when we chorus confessions in church, you are functioning at the corporate faith level. We get results that way. But when you're on your own, is when we now know where you are in your faith walk. Whether you have increased in knowledge, which is what hates you demonstrating your faith. When you're alone. Hallelujah. When you're alone, that's where the issue really is. So it's knowledge that's usually the issue, which is why we emphasize the study of God's word as a lifestyle, listening to messages as a lifestyle, because those things, we use this phrase to say, you are feeding your faith. Really, you're feeding the level of knowledge that you have. You're increasing knowledge, which automatically helps you to demonstrate your faith. Hallelujah. Notice what Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart. Now the question is this, if someone is doubting in their heart, how will you know since it is in the heart? How can you tell? Notice, they didn't know Jesus had faith until Jesus did something. What did he do? He spoke. So how do we know you have doubt? Thank you. It will show up in what you say. It will show up in what you say. That's the only way to discover where doubt is. It will show up in what you say. You spoke this way now. You spoke this way a few minutes after. There's doubt. Is there faith? Yes. But is there doubt? Yes. But notice the manifestation shall not doubt where? In his heart. So doubt in the heart is not really sin until we hear what you are saying. You are to say and to keep saying. Whosoever shall say shall not doubt, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he said. So in all probability, in all likelihood, when Jesus spoke, they heard when he spoke. But the other speakings of Jesus, they didn't hear. As they were going about their duties, they went to the temple. Jesus must have been saying, no man eat fruits of thee. He must have just kept saying. They didn't need to hear that part. He just kept saying, shall not doubt. Shall not doubt. Shall not doubt. So he won't say anything contrary. Because when he spoke to the fig tree, there was no immediate sign. Trust me, there was a sign. Peter would have seen it. Uncle Peter will look for it. It was Uncle Peter who discovered the next day. Where did Peter live? The leaves were not dry. And that's an issue. It was the roots. You know, you have to be very observant to come to a tree and be looking at roots. Because when you have looked at the tree, the leaves are still there. Anyone who understands agriculture will know, once the roots are gone, forget leaves. That's just decoration. It's just a matter of time. Where there's no more supply of nutrients, the leaf will show. So you are looking at the leaves. You don't know that the words are taking effect in the roots. So the effect is first in the unseen. And that's why people say things that they believe and they declare in 24 hours when they don't see immediate signs. Not knowing the word has already gone to work, they call it back. I guess I won't get that money. I guess nobody will help me. I guess the money won't come. You just cancel the process. What happened? There was doubt in the heart that did not need to be expressed, but you expressed it. You will have what you say because you didn't doubt. Not that doubt will not come. Listen, there is nobody that is walking by faith, that is practicing faith, that doesn't have thoughts. of doubt. What does the Bible say about taking? Say, take no thought, saying, Matthew 6. So you had doubt. I had doubt. I knew you had because you said it. You didn't know I also had because I didn't say mine. So you call me a faith giant. Why am I a faith giant? Because I didn't say my own. I didn't verbalize it. But you think that I am immune to fears. No. Thank God for the epistles. Paul says in fears, in perils, often. No. Acts chapter 14. When attempt was made to despitefully use him, Barnabas, they fled. It is apostolic to flee. You don't know. It's apostolic. They fled. They must have been led. Run now. That's not what I'm saying. No. Psalm 91. The Bible says, the Spirit said, I need to run. That's not your time to be quoting. For now, the way of escape is what? Run. Tomorrow may be different. There's no formula. You understand? There's no formula. I've told you. See, the God that walked in Samson, the tall lion of bears, walked in Daniel to sleep. You can't tell God, no. The power of Samson should come now. Lions are sleeping. You go and wake them up. He said, no. That's not how to win. I must show I have mastery. So you wake up, lion that has been sleeping. That God made to sleep. Power of God made them. So you wake up, wake them up. He said, no. The testimony must be like Samson. Are you Samson? His own formula is through the leading of spirit. How does that particular faith find expression? That's the issue. Shall not doubt is that, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass. So that means he keeps saying, because the emphasis is on saying. So we said, you're not saying. It's not because you don't have faith. You're not saying because you are not fully persuaded. And persuasion comes from knowledge. Philemon 6, that the communication of your one faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of one every good thing which is where? In you, in Christ Jesus. Look at Hebrews in chapter 11. I want to show you something. Verse 32. People say, do we go to the book of Psalms? Do we read the book of Psalms? Yes. They are examples. They are also written for comfort. When you see the things that God has done, you tell yourself, there's nothing I'm in that is new or strange. It has happened before, so it will happen again. Do you understand? The things in the Psalms, you know, some of those things are graphic. They help your mind. You won't find graphic things in the epistles. Because the epistles explain that those things you read, they are now yours to walk in. Do you understand? They're now yours to walk in. So look at, it says, what more shall I say? So he's been speaking by faith, they walked through mercy, through faith, they subdued kingdom. So he says, what more shall I say? For the time who failed me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel. So he could have brought out instances in the lives of these patriarchs that demonstrated what he was teaching. He was teaching principles about faith. So I could bring out in each, so I don't have enough time. Don't think I forgot about them. I just brought out certain characters to stimulate your understanding with respect to faith. But I could go into the lives of all these ones also and bring out what faith is about. That's what he's saying. So look at the next verse. It says, who through faith did what? They subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained what? Promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. So when you're reading, what are you meant to see? God's faithfulness in preserving his own from evil, God's faithfulness in providing for his own, the same faithfulness that will take care of you now. What's the difference? Well, we have the word of prophecy made more sure. Because now for you, the promises, they are yes and they are amen. Hallelujah. If they didn't have the Spirit and they were looking forward to having the Spirit and they had this kind of provisions, how much more you that has the Spirit? Do you understand that? So whosoever shall say, what are you saying? What have you learned? What have you understanding have you received from what he has said? Because he has said certain things, and what he has said is what he has done. So if what he has said is what he has done, then what are you saying because of what he has said? Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13 verse 5. It says, let your conversation, that's your manner of life, be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. OK, Okay, that's, you know, people, you read that, you think it's talking about, you have a bicycle, be content. You have just one chair in your house, be content. No, that's what it's talking about. Be content with such things as you have means find out what you have in Christ. Be content. Don't live a life of covetousness. He has already told you, let brotherly love continue. Who is your brother? Jesus. In this brotherly love, you have, you are companions in the resurrection. So now that you are content with that understanding, don't let your lifetime be ruled by what covetousness. Be content with realizing that you have Christ, you have all things. He says, for he has what? Said, I will never leave you, no one forsake you. So that we may boldly say what? The Lord is. Say is. Say is. Say is. English graduates, what's the word is? What tense is that? Present tense. Okay, so the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. So I take my position of not being afraid from what he is, from who he is, and what he has said, which is a function of what he has done. He has said, I will never leave you, no one forsake you. So I will never leave you, forsake you is a statement based on what he accomplished, what he did. That's what it means. So that you can boldly say, the Lord is. So the Lord is means, listen carefully, help and assistance is with you at all times, even when you don't feel like it. The Lord is my helper should be a constant confession, because that is who he made himself to be in your life. You understand? So when you're reading Psalm 46, for instance, look at Psalm 46 and verse 1. We're practicalizing it now. God is our what? Refuge and fortress, a very present in trouble. So, did they experience help in the Old Testament? Did they experience help? So, let me ask you, is this a was this a reality for them or a promise? A promise, thank you. Is this a reality for you or a promise? Yes. Thank you. So, who should say this more boldly? The people that wrote it or you that you are a recipient of it? So, God is my refuge and my strength. A very what? Readily available help, even in trouble. So let me ask you a question. If there is trouble, what should you do? Observe his presence. Hallelujah. I almost feel like asking, when was the last time you were in trouble? Did you have panic attacks? Did you sweat? Did you complain? Did you grumble? If this is a reality, the implication is this. When I see trouble, I should rejoice because the help is present. So trouble should not make me think that there is no way out. Trouble now, because of what Christ has done, should make me realize that means help is also what? Present. So which one am I meant to acknowledge when there's trouble? The trouble or the help? Can you see? So the reality is that you now have help, but you are looking at the trouble, so you are taking your attention away from the help. Now, here's the challenge believers have. When trouble comes, they can see the trouble, they can smell the trouble, they can feel the trouble. And in some cases, the trouble is something you are just hearing. Phone calls. Your mind is you guys there. So what do? You get yourself to hear more about the help. Because the help is bigger than the trouble. The help is bigger than trouble. That's the truth. You know, I said in primary school, I had some very interesting experiences. We used to play this game of who is the strongest man, strong man. So we used to have WrestleMania. We'll go to a deserted place. Nobody, teachers won't be there. If you are fighting somebody, you go to that place. They will come and everybody will come there. They have, it's after that. I will see you after school. If you know you cannot fight, that invitation should not be honored. That means after school, you should believe God for speed for your legs. And if you are fortunate, your parents are taking you, blessed are you, because you have escaped. Tomorrow is still there, but at least that day, you're not showing up. We don't know what will have happened. You can tell us that I was not really feeling fine, but next time, but at least you have gone. But they will meet you there. Now, I observed that there were some who could not really fight, but they have mouth. Hi. The way they will talk. Now, it usually works. But one day, backfired for one particular fellow. There was this guy in primary five that just came in from Cameroon. He was head and shoulders taller than any of us. I forgot I was a strong man. I just chilled. But this guy was saying, the other location, he was making mouth. The way he used to make mouth. Me, I was thinking, because I had seen this man in action. One other fellow of my we're class, you are climbing somebody with his head and shoulder above you. They tell you it's from Cameroon, which you have only seen on the map. Primary five, you have never heard. The first time you're meeting another person from another country is a Cameroonian. So you are thinking, is that somebody from Mars or Jupiter or something? And when there was a fight in a classroom, when another boy tried to attack him, the way he, there was no punch. The boy was throwing punch. He just raised up the boy's hands and gave him a slap on the tummy. And the boy started crying like a baby. So I told myself, this young man should be avoided. Wisdom is profitable to direct. But this other one did not know what I had seen. Choose your fights well. He was making noise. So he makes noise. But unfortunately, the noise did not scare this particular fellow, because the guy did not even say anything. Fear those who say nothing. When I started driving in 1989, 1990, I had an older brother who told me that if they hit you in the traffic, it's not good though. I'm just telling you for a story. If they hit you in traffic or you hit somebody, he said, don't shout, just sit down in the car. He said, just don't say anything. But not in Lagos, don't say anything. The person comes and shouts, don't say anything. When they are finished ranting, just come out and just say what's in there. You must be stupid. See, they're saying, sorry, sir. They will give, I think you are very important. It's just strategy. So this guy was just swinging. I heard the news in Asia, I didn't follow them. There was only two slaps. The boy cried all the way home. No punch. Just to slap kind of the way home. Now, so a lot of people, you will speak and speak and speak, and it's not by much speaking. It's about releasing faith in your words. Now, the faith you release is based on what have you ingested. You feed on the epistles. You see the graphic picture in the book of Psalms, so that you can see how rescue and deliverance has been wrought in the past. Because you are now in the reality of the shadow they were enjoying. So there is more available for you now. Listen, at the point of prophecy, Jesus still said, don't you know that even now, if I ask my Father, he will send. You see, you think I'm forsaking? No, I'm submitting to this. It's not that maybe I can still say, angels should come, and at least 70,000 will show up now. Jesus was saying that. And he didn't look in that garden as though there was anything called air, because disciples had escaped. You understand? So never allow appearance to dictate to you whether God is present or not. Let his word be the final authority. Hallelujah. Listen, when your sense of fellowship with God is not so strong, it's not about you, it's about him and what he has done. You know, when you experience God helping you, when your sense of fellowship is not so strong, you know, that's a proof of God's faithfulness. Because you know now, it's not because you put in hours of prayer. It's because he paid the price by rising from the dead. Do you understand? So, he has said, so maybe the word say, you know, I've seen believers get into trouble and they were expecting judgment. No. Expect mercy. And say it from your lips. I expect what? Mercy. The kind of argument you're expecting may make you even lose your job. Expect mercy. Say it. My Father is rich in mercy. That mercy has been manifest for me in this situation. I may have made a mistake, but it's mercy more than covers for all my mistakes. Learn to speak that way and to expect that. You need to understand that he is a very present help, even in trouble. Even the one that you caused by yourself. So stop having this sense of, you know, I deserve. We know. We know you deserve it. But God doesn't think that way. What does God think? You are still my son. Hallelujah. And I'm rich in mercy. And my mercy is available for you. Glory to God. He's a very present help in trouble. Psalm 44. 2 chapters 4. I want to read you. This is a testimony of Israel. See what it says. From verse 1. Psalm 44. We've heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us it was a custom in Israel by oral tradition to pass across testimonies of God's faithfulness to the next generation. That's what they did. So they will tell them the mighty things God has done from one generation to the other. So he says, we've heard. Our fathers told us the work you did in their days in the times of old. Yeah. So you drove out the Eden with your hand. You planted them. How you afflicted the people and you cast them out. Next verse. He says, they did not get the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your one countenance, because you had what? Favor. Glory to God. So the testimony is this: they didn't use strength. Not my power, not my mind, but my what? I speak. They didn't use strength. They put their faith in God, and God what? Rescued them. Rescued them. That's so important. You stand before ungodly government officials, you should believe God for favor. You should be saying under your breath. Again, a lot of times, when you start saying it when you are in the situation, a lot of times, you are panicking. And he says, if you doubt not in your heart, but already you are saying, hey, the money they will collect today, will they let me go? So you are battling those thoughts as you are speaking. So this, as you are speaking, those thoughts are countering. And once it's going to happen, if those thoughts gather momentum, or if you acknowledge them by saying them, they will dry out faith from your lips. Because faith has to be expressed. Whosoever shall say, I shall not doubt, but shall believe those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have. What will have? What he has said and what he has been saying and what he keeps saying. So it doesn't work because you just said it once sometimes. It's because you kept saying. Why do you keep saying? It's proof that though doubt may come, you don't believe there's any other outcome except what you are saying. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. Why do you keep saying? It's not because doubt doesn't come, but because you don't believe there should be any other outcome but that which you what? Keep saying. That's why you don't say things like, what can you believe God for this year? Anything you can believe God for. When you say anything, think very well before you agree to anything. If you cannot believe God for 1 million or 2 million for the end, don't join them. Believe for what you can believe, because you are not persuaded. Am I telling you from January till now? I did not even get 500,000. Is it now that once you are doing that, before you say, because the saying is not magic. It's not magic. The saying is out of persuasion. So what should the believer work on? Persuasion. You are first persuaded, then you speak. So you work on your persuasion. How do you work on persuasion? You need to hear more. What's happening to you? You are being persuaded of God's faithfulness before you speak. Hallelujah. You see, this thing about if I speak, I will speak myself into, you know, the speaking part does something to your mind. There's a renewal process by the help of God's Spirit. That's what's happening. Not that more faith is coming. It's the same faith. Say it's the same faith. Say the same faith. We having the same spirit of faith. According as written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and we therefore what? So the question is, how much speaking have been done from January to now? You'd be amazed to find out that it may not really be much. It may be a few times when you were praying, you said a few things. Yet you were expecting all kinds of results. If you got some results already, now do a self-assessment and check. What if you had spoken more? Wouldn't you have gotten more? Because the main trouble broke out. What was the first thing you acknowledged? The victory that is in Christ or the trouble that is before you? You ask yourself the question. What have you been? Because sometimes somebody else may need to let you know. Now, whenever you come around me, do you notice you always complain? You know, you may not even know. You may be in your unconsciously. That unconscious one is the problem, because that is what affects the snatch of the persuasion of your heart. Everybody can do Christianity when you come to church. You know that? It's where, brother. It's where, brother. So, how is the we are managing this country? Tell you. You know, that's already counter to what you said you were saying before. So when we all say corporately, you are riding on our corporate. When it's individual, your own, what you believe will find expression in your lips. What you really believe. So it's not really God, because faith is not magic. It is that there are tools or there are steps to having enough persuasion before you speak. This works in all areas, even works in ministry. Listen, I've stood my ground. Operating the gifts of the Spirit, because we prophesy according to proportion of faith. And I've given a word, and nobody got up, and I stood. And because I stood, because I knew what I said, I stood after a while. You know, people, you can give a word, and the person is there, and the person, if you don't believe. I don't know how many minutes I've gone to people who came to me after service. Sir, it's me. Size me. So if you are a minister who is timid, you've not handled spirituals very well, you are too concerned about how people see you, hey, they will think I was lying. You are still at that level. You're not going to move forward. Because already you should even know that even if you make mistakes, just move, just grow, get over it. I just said, so there's nothing, yes, which, who is going to applaud you for being the most accurate? Jesus is most accurate. You understand? You have, we are all growing. We are all, so, it was nothing like you missed it, so you may miss it. See, I watch Papa Egan in his late 70s. He would come to a meeting and say that, sorry, the word I gave wasn't for you, it was for this person. Ah. Me, I'll apologize since I'm 19. It's okay. Because you just said, no, sir, the two of you were sitting together, it was for this person, not for you. And that means there's growth. Isn't it? So, if you see me, after meeting, people will come and meet you. So we tell you, go and minister to somebody else. You are thinking, I have nothing. We know. We know that when you get there, you will have something. Even that functions by faith. Do you understand? Even that functions by faith. So when are you going to get your faith working? By speaking and by acting. When? The year is almost at an end. There are things you ought to have said that you haven't said. So, and a lot of times, the beautiful thing is that when we are giving ourselves to praying, I usually say this, it's good for you to have things written down. It's always good to guide you. But much more, if you really stay true to praying. And let me say this, this has happened more to me when I was praying for somebody else. Because this is how love works. And when I'm praying for somebody else, I will have utterance. And I'll be saying certain things concerning my life and ministry because I was concerned about somebody else. I hope you're following. Those things I'm now saying is almost looks like it's automatic. No effort in saying them. There are things I'm going to see. There are things that are going to happen like this. Because some of us, when we are sending prayer point, pray for your pastors, pray for your leaders, pray for missionaries. It's not missionary. I have a problem. We are telling you how the church should pray. Because when you're doing that, you're walking love. And when you're walking love, your faith grows exceedingly. Do you understand that? So a lot of times, the things of the spirit, they rise to the surface. When a man is consciously walking love, what will be given to you to say? What you didn't even plan to say? So that the things that God wants to see manifest in your life, those things come, because those things still have to be said. They have to be spoken. Hallelujah. That's where they are spoken. So, you are to expect favor, but not by just wishing, but by saying. You have to be conscious, God is for me. God is with me. And God is in me. Hallelujah. I carry God wherever I go. So, God's mercy is expressed in all situations. I am never stranded. I am never alone. I have assistance in all areas. God's mercy stands me out in all situations. So expect that when you're on a queue and everybody's confused, that God's mercy will single you out for somebody to come and meet you. Expect such things and say those things. Say those things. Because those things are part of your inheritance in Christ. Say amen. They are part of your inheritance in Christ. Stop expecting evil. Afflictions will come, but don't go believing for them. No. Psalm 34 verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but what? The Lord delivers them out of some? Out of them all. Out of them all. It is all, not some. So that he has invited you once to try and ask me, God, you have tried. Is it your trying? Who told you he's not ready to do everything completely? No. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at Paul's testimony. Yeah, believers have challenges. We do. But that's not the end. 2 Corinthians 1. And look at verse 3. Look at how he addresses God. Blessed be God, that is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Say, all comfort comes from the Father. Okay, look at next verse. It says, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we'll be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort where we ourselves are what we're comforted of God. Next verse. For the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. Yep. And whether we be afflicted for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enjoying of the same sufferings, which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it's for your consolation and salvation. Next verse. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering, so shall you also be of the consolation. Yep. For we will not, brethren, have you ignorant of the trouble which came to us when we were in Asia. We were pressed out of measure, above or beyond strength, in so much that we lost hope when it comes to the issue of life. But notice what the Paul says next. But we had the answer of death in ourselves. What was the answer? The answer was that we should not trust in ourselves, but in who? In God. Who what? When you hear in God who raises the dead, don't think of God who is busy going around raising people from the dead. God who raises the dead is a reference to the resurrection of Jesus. Amen? So he's saying that resurrection is the final answer, is our final conviction, is our final persuasion about what God represents. So let me put it this way. If you embrace a doctrine that tells you that God will allow you to suffer in situations of life to see whether you are strong, you are finished. In capital letters, FINISHED, finished. Finished. If you, it's subtle, but it's there. It's subtle, but it's there. God is trying me. God is testing me. God is chastising me. Be chastised. There are all kinds of terrible doctrines. And they will quote the scripture, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord. They don't know what the word chastening means. It means to child train. To train a child. How many of you are training your child? You put the ice hand on a stove before. They have a place where they keep people like you. A special place. Once you have that mindset, that the reason why I'm going through this is that God wants to see if I will have faith. No. He told Peter, Satan came. That was before the resurrection. He came seeking and he's looking for an opportunity to sift you like wheat. But I prayed for you so that your faith will not fail. If that is for the, how much more now? The one who prays for you is inside of you now. To rescue and to deliver you at all times. Hallelujah. He said, Peter, I have prayed that your faith. He says, let me tell you the outcome. When you are strengthened, you are converted, go and strengthen your brethren. He told him in the end from the beginning, I have prayed, I have taken care of it. No what? It didn't mean the attack would not come. It didn't mean, listen, it's a walkover. Victory is sure. That's what Jesus said. Victory is sure. That's what Jesus said. So challenges will come. But don't go believe for challenges. Understand that help, deliverance, victory is always available. And God is never short of ways to help you and to assist you in those situations. That's what the believer should stand for. That's what the believer should say. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. There's nothing that men can do unto me. Hallelujah. No, there's nothing. You know, I had a testimony of a lady who, it was in a bank. She took over an account. An account that her immediate boss, who was a lady, was managing her account. And she stood on the integrity of God's word that she wouldn't misbehave even though she was in the banking environment. So, when the lady left, I think for another bank or so, so she had to now manage the account, which she had never really handled before. So she had to go and see the person that owned the account face to face. So when she first got to the place, he noticed that most of the staff had gone. At the time, the man told her to come to the office. So around 5 a.m., most of the time, when the man had dismissed her, when she got to the man's office, he was showing pornography on the scene. And of course, you know what that means. And tried to get her. And one said, no, sir, I didn't come for this. I came to assure you that I'm child of the account. I said, yeah, I know your account. He said, so I just came to, you know, on the familiarity to let you know that I'm a child now and whatever translation. He said, how do you think your boss got this account? So if you don't play ball, you will lose the account. He said, sir, I came here to work, not to lose my soul. You have to be strong in God, though. With the things that have been offered now, you have to be strong in God. Not to eat of the king's table. You have to be strong in God. You have to believe that if it leads to your being sacked, there's a better resurrection. I hope you know what I'm talking about. You have to understand that if that is what it will lead to, that there's something better God always has. What? You see, there's nothing the enemy throws that God doesn't have something better. As in far, there's nothing. Listen carefully. Joseph was offered the same meat. You ready? Everything's under your care. I'm the last thing. Just take me also. Add it to the possession. He said no. If he didn't say no, prime ministership won't come home. I hope you understand those principles. So we don't teach that way, but we understand those principles are important for our Christian work. That if you say you have faith in God, godly living is important. Because if you say you trust God, you trust him not halfway, but all the way. You don't cut corners. The minute you cut corners, you really are not trusting God. You say you are trusting. I hope you understand. You've added something else to it. You are not trusting God. Guess what? Though the man threatened, the man didn't withdraw the account. The same man was not nice. You're a decent girl. The same man that wanted that will recommend the same person for somebody else. I hope you know. That's how they do. That's what they say. Oh, so they're still decent girls around the same person that you will have bowed to without knowing. Now, the same person you can walk into his office and preach and they will listen. But you know you can't preach if it's the other way around. Amen. Hallelujah. You can't. So there are things like that. The believer stands firm. You stand your ground. But again, your confession has been going on. If your trust in God's word and effectiveness of it has been producing results, you'll not be afraid in any negative situation. First John chapter 5. I'm going to wind up shortly. First John chapter 5, verse 4. So what is it? For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that what overcomes the world, even our faith. What's he talking about? Look at verse 1. Look at verse 1 for context. Whosoever believes Jesus is Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loves him also that's begotten of him. By this we know the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not what? Grievous. So he's talking about the new birth. The new birth is the victory that overcomes the world. The new birth is the victory that overcomes the world. So when it says your faith there is the new birth. Whatever is born of God, which is a new birth, that is the victory that what? Overcomes the world. So understand context. It's that new birth. That is, in that new birth, God has furnished you with everything you need to prevail in all circumstances. You don't, what do you lack? Knowledge of what those things are. It's the new birth. That's the victory. You take hold of that understanding of the new birth. You stand your ground in faith, which is you're declaring God's word. Don't be lazy about declaring. Don't be lazy about declaring. If we come to church, as we come to church now, say, let's pray for the next 30 minutes. People will pray. Let's confess for the next 30 minutes. I give you 30 seconds. 1 minute. That is, we're not leading you to confess. Only you is confessing by yourself. People will run out. They will run out what to say. Let's do tongues. Let's just do tongues. Because they now realize that. What would Anna be saying? What will I be saying? God has answered. He has answered. He knows. Now, the discipline it takes to say the same thing, even for 24 hours, is a lot of spiritual work. And that's why people usually depart unconsciously. They don't even know they've stopped saying until something else comes from their lips. Why did I say that? The way they are going around this office, we'll soon all be sacked if you join them. But a prophecy came concerning promotion in that same office a week before. But somebody said something hearing that. I saw a memo. It's like they want to downsize. It's as though God, who spoke about promotion, does not know they want to downsize. He's ignorant. So you now took the testimony of downsizing. You put it in your mouth. When he gave you a testimony of promotion to put in your mouth. Can you see what happens? So you are now saying, now you are saying something. When I like, you are saying something. There's nobody who doesn't say something. You are all saying something. God is just giving you a choice of what to say, particularly when you are what? Unconscious. So that's when what you are pursued about actually comes up. You want to leave the country at one time or the other, or to travel, or to be able to go back and forth. Don't join them to say that they are not giving you visa. Don't join them. You want to have a good home. Don't say all men are dogs. That's a stupid statement. You know, there's some things people just say, and you didn't originate it. You saw it somewhere. You heard it in maybe a soap. You heard it in the play. You saw it on social media. So something is feeding you with wrong information, and you are not even aware you are being fed. But you put it in your mouth. There are no caring women these days. No man can suffer with you again. You are not married. And that's what you are saying. The way homes are even breaking up these days, I even wonder whether marriage is necessary. And you want to get married. So you already, you know, you are, Satan doesn't even need to come. You, by yourself. You are being a castle of opposition against yourself. I say that way, after you have done the work, what am I here to do? Let me go for vacation. You've done enough work. That's what you're, so we unconsciously reverse the process. I told just 2 weeks ago that Dr. Is late now, Charles Capps, said that one day was studying as Spirit of God spoke to him that I told my people they can have what they say and they are saying what they have. See, the men are good at reversing the process. I say you can have what you say. So look at my word. Go through it. Meditate upon it. Then whatever you find there, you can have it. Now you are not saying what you already have. Where is power in that one? So be careful. Particularly in the season of prayer. Incidentally, no matter how long you pray, you can nullify hours of prayer with a few words. That's very important. So you have what you say, because what you are praying is the same thing. It's the same thing. So let Mark 11 again as we close now. Mark 11, 23, 24. See what it says. And I learned this a while back. I'm not forgotten. That's why till now I'm careful about what I say. I've told you it's not wrong for you to say you're not feeling fine. But is that the end of the conversation, or for you to tell us that this is what you may also believe? Don't say I'm strong. That's not a confession of it. Okay, except you really, really are strong. Don't say, you are not, your fever is dealing with you. You say, Pastor, why didn't you come to church? I'm very strong. So why didn't you come? Since you are very strong. Why do we blind? There's only when you're talking to your leaders and say, well, I actually wasn't feeling fine. And I needed to rest. There's nothing wrong. That's not a negative confession. We've taken this confession to another. Somebody said, we cannot. No. That's not what you say. You didn't come for the program. I'm very rich. And give us money. What should I have said? I'm a bit low on cash right now, actually. Now, low on cash right now is somebody, a very wealthy man can also say. I hope you know that. Low on cash means that there's no liquid cash around. It doesn't mean I don't have money. No. Low on cash means there's no liquid cash around right now. It doesn't mean that I actually don't have money. I hope you understand. So there are things to say. Not something that's actually not necessary scripture. There's some things that are not necessary. We have just picked up those things. So see what it says. Very nice unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Therefore, or for this reason, I say unto you, what things soever you desire. Say what I desire. Say what I desire. So when I pray, so that already takes away the idea of like, if I pray, if it's God's will, stop putting the if. God didn't put it, don't add it. Don't put it, don't add it. Whether you marry, you are not married, it really doesn't make much difference to God. Just love him. So you want to marry, that's what you want. Then pray it. God doesn't mind. I want to live and work in Lagos. Except he says otherwise, I want to live and work in Lagos. Then pray to live and work in Lagos. That's where God will finish. Because he's a father, if he has something else to do about it, then he will show you. But when it's good, but I just want to find out, just in case it goes weak, you want to go on vacation? I don't know whether God is into vacations. Are you into vacation? Are you into vacation? Do you like vacation? Yes. There are some things you like. And the reason why God likes it because you like it. That's all. It's not wrong. Because when you're in this body, there's some things you just like. It's not wrong. Say amen. So he told you whatever you desire. He didn't say whatever I desire for you. Don't put that one. Whatever things you desire. When you pray, believe that you want, you have received them, and you shall what? Have them. And this thing works almost on a daily basis. There are some of you here. The kind of company you work, if you go to your boss to ask for something and says, how can you put that? I'll give it to you. You go and tell people, your other, I got it. And he has not given you. You know what you are doing? You believe his words. And you are meant to do the same thing with God. Your boss told you in the office that, it's actually been a while. We ought to have promoted you. Don't worry, I'll do it. How would you feel? Promoted. Have you received a letter? No. Do you trust the man's words? This man, anything tells you how much more your Heavenly Father. So don't tell me you don't have faith or you don't work faith. You do. You go and tell everybody. Or guys agree though. And there's no document yet. The money is on your account and yet you are acting it out. If you are planning. Nothing I wanted to get with this increment. And so you're already acting. Your mind is ready because you believe the words that were spoken. But the difference between your boss and God is that what God has said, he has already done it before he said it. So you can take it to the bank. It's yours. Lift your hands this morning and thank him. See, I speak right. I release my faith. I believe things are working out for my good. I'm a child of God. There's nothing accidental about my life. My life is deliberate. It's on point. It's on purpose. I walk the straight and narrow path, but my steps are sure. I'm always led. I have divine direction. God's wisdom prevails my affairs. There is no disruption in the course of my life. I walk straight. I walk in line with the will and plan of the Father. I have provisions at every step. The angels who are sent to minister for me, they cost money to come, so that there is never a time I'm without assistance or provision. I have enough, sufficient for every need and every season. Season in, season out, abundance is my portion, is my experience. I declare I live in sound health. Christ purchased health, and that health is mine to enjoy. As he is, so am I. His health is my health. As he is in health, so am I in health now. No sickness or disease is permitted to thrive or to leave my body. I'm free from all sickness. I walk in sound health. My mind is sound. I'm not dull. Christ is my wisdom. I think intelligently. His wisdom prevails. I have knowledge or witty inventions. I am creative by nature because the Spirit of God guides me at all times. I always know what to do, so I'm never stuck. I'm never stranded. This same year, I enjoy God's largesse in all areas. I experience supernatural favor, and His mercy speaks on my behalf. Give Him praise.